Okay, we're talking about what is Shelo Lishma really? And we gave the analogy of the father who asks the child for a glass of water and the kid says for how much. Versus the idea of you go to a restaurant and you ask for a glass of water, you expect it's going to cost you. So at the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Zayin. So how is this applicable to our lives? We are all children of Hashem, as the Pasuk says, Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. You are the children up to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avinu V'Anachnu Banav. Hashem is our Father and we are His children. Adam Shekol Avoidoso Nasi Shelo Lishma. A person who his whole service is done Shelo Lishma, not for the sake of God. Klaimer ein elu rak machshavas shabos midei pam shumargish bohem bechina shel nefila. These aren't, we're not speaking about a person. He has these thoughts of not for the sake of heaven, only selfish thoughts that happen once in a while when he's during a down spin in his life. But this is the way he lives his life. What does he get out of this Yiddishkeit? It's exactly like the analogy. For everything he does for Hashem, he immediately mechashven, like he calculates them. He's figuring out, you know, what's going to be the benefit here. For example, Almas says, for this mitzvah, the Torah says, v'nasati gishmeichem be'itam, I will give you rains at their time. Val mitzvah zu, and he thinks of this mitzvah, vuvtachu, for example, kibud av eim, it says, laman terichin yomis, you'll live a long time. Right? Umasar hu skul ashiras, and he knows that the Gemara says that if you give a tenth of your money to tzedakah, it's a charm for wealth. Vakach lo mitzvah mitzvah, he calculates by every mitzvah, umotzis atam, ato kadai vishavu kaima. He figures out why is it worthwhile to do it. Everything is on the tab. So, you know, I do this because I know Hashem, you know, I give tzedakah because I know Hashem gives me more money. So it's good. I get richer by giving tzedakah. So that's why I do it. So everything that you do is calculated in terms of what am I getting out of this. So, and on to the next page, Kuf Lamed Ches. Ein kavana salomer shaskulas ein achonas. You know, we don't mean to say that these things that the rabbis say, these charms, these, you know, what comes out of this is not true. Of course it's true. And we don't mean to say Shabirchas Torah alone is tiskaima, that the blessings of the Torah aren't going to come true. Chalila v'chas, God forbid. Of course, what they say is true. When the prophet says to the Jewish people, you know, just test God by giving tzedakah and you'll see He won't let you down. All these things are true. Vare shekol divrei haTorah emes v'yatziv. Certainly everything in, every word of the Torah is true and is everlastingly going to stand. Avalo kasuv haTorah shekach oivdim, but it doesn't say in the Torah that that's how you serve. You serve for that. It just says that will be the benefit, but that's not why you serve. Adam Kazes, someone who just does it for those reasons, ma'abed esatsura pshuta biyosu shal akesh ben haben laviv. That kind of person is losing the simple picture of the connection between a father and a son. You're missing out on the whole way it's supposed to be done. Yinasana l'tzayr la'atzmainu la'atzmai. Let him reverse the picture and figure if, tell the son now, what would he feel if he was the father? And that's the way his son was treating him. How long could he tolerate that from his son? How much pain would he feel? You'd say to yourself, look, I raised up this boy. I've bothered with him. I've suffered for him. I've made a lot of effort for 15 years. And this is how he treats me. So obviously this is inappropriate behavior. So now, Mehechen magia l'rosha shalabein machshava neluza kazu. So from where does it come into the kid's mind? Such a disgusting thought. Shall call Dover Shavim Vakishman Yesh Lunahel Masumatan Mishari, that for everything the father asks for, he has to conduct himself in a business like fashion. Machshava kazu titachin rak ezel adam shechay leman atzmo mereisha vad gemira. This kind of a thought could only, it's only possible to develop from a person that lives his life for himself from beginning to end. A self-centered person, that's all he ever thinks about is numero uno. And that kind of a person could have the chutzpah to a parent. Yeah, and that's why you're finding much, much less respect to parents in as the generations are unfolding, because the more selfish the generations are, the less respectful they are for the parents. Koladam bardas, anybody with any brains, she'ena shakuba asu chalutin, that isn't totally engrossed in his own self-serving needs. Kishe magil aviv hu netzar. If it, you know, even though there's a bit self-serving, when they come to their father, they stop behaving that way. You don't act that way. Kichol she'adam rachak yoser minikiyasmis, to the degree that the person is distant from his own personal bias. It's not only to his father, but to anybody that he has any kind of relationship with, he'll get closer to them and want to give them. But certainly for a father, no one would act that way. If they had any sense of scruples, of any kind of decency, they wouldn't do this. But on the other hand, for many of us, that's our relationship with Hashem. It's what do I get out of it? What do I get? What am I getting out of this? And if not, I'm angry with Hashem. I'm disappointed. Why isn't he giving me what I'm expecting? He was supposed to pay me off these things. He doesn't. So that is the problem of Shalom Lishma versus Lishma of the whole day long. Did anybody try it yesterday when you were in the car? I know, Shelly, you didn't get any red lights yesterday.
Yeah, lots of red lights. You know what? I was thinking, there was this long red light, there was this car in front of me, and he wanted to go straight, there was no way for me to turn right. And I was saying, okay, fine. I'll think about God a little bit, because he's not turning right. And as soon as I started to do that, he decided to turn right. So I got to go, too.
But to think throughout those moments, 5-10 times a day, how much you want to just please God, and how much you wish you could want to just please God. And I'm doing it just for Hashem, and there's no other thoughts in your mind. You know, that's the kind of son you want to be. But the other people say, you know, I only do it, you know, when it suits me, and this and that, and what I'll get out of it. You know, this is the difference. So anyway, next area. But you see how low it is to act that way. Now, tefila bakasha al bitul hamachshava shloshma. So here comes a prayer and a request to nullify such kind of thoughts that are to nullify one's serving God not for the proper reasons. Hamashal shamarnu bavada enu nitzrech l'chulam. Certainly, this analogy, we don't need it for everybody. Yeshikain v'yeshalo. There's some who are yes, some no. Aval adam shenimtsa b'madrega shenitzrech l'oris libo lavad l'shma. But someone who is found on a level that he has to arouse himself a shtickel to serve for the proper reasons. Yishtamish b'mashal zeh, he should use this mashal. Think about this mashal. U'betochan ha'pnimi shel advarim, and you go to the inner core of those words, you should think about them. U'befrat roilu lizbonim b'nekuda zu lifneishu nigash l'kayim mitzvah. You should certainly think of this point before he begins to do a mitzvah. You have to think about why you are doing this mitzvah, for what purpose, and that you're not expecting something out of it. L'dugma, for example, we're going back to our tefillin. Before we said what? That I'm to stop and think that you're putting on tefillin. And to stop and think that you're trying to give God pleasure. So, let's ratchet up a bit. Before he approaches to put on his tefillin, he begins to speak with Hashem and says the following. I'm about to put on tefillin. Lomani also says, why am I doing this? Because you asked me. You asked me. That's why I'm doing it. And he continues and he spreads out his feelings towards Hashem. And he says, Hashem, what are you going to give me for putting out the tefillin? Right? What are you going to give me? And then right away he says to Hashem, "Ani bush b'mashen yomer." I'm embarrassed to say that. You know, I know it's embarrassing to say that avol kacha ani margish, but that's what I really feel. Okay, first, you know, in other words, some of it, be honest. If you feel that way, if you really think that way, so say it and see how stupid it is. And say, I know it's embarrassing to say it, but that's what I really feel, and I hope I don't feel like that anymore. Okay? I mean, that's interesting. If you feel that way, right? But that would be the truth. Next page. Ein shum inyan shadim yishakris atzmo. There's no area for a person that he should lie to himself. Alo litchok litzadis ha-machshava shenim rus. You shouldn't push away the not favorable thoughts that you know are there. Kibakachu be'etzem matchik esamadrega shel atzmo. Because when you do that, you're really pushing that level. V'adram nishorim etzel be'meknavsh. They remain in the depths of your soul. In other words, if you really have this wrong feeling, be honest with it. Address it, see how ugly it is, and then you may be able to deal with it. But if you just suppress it, and you know you just don't want to think about it. But the truth is that that's what it is, then you're never really going to get beyond it. You really feel that way. So you've got to expose the disgustingness or the lowness of such a way of serving Hashem and speak it out and say, yeah, what are you going to give me for this? I'm so embarrassed to say, but that's what I feel. What are you going to give me for doing this mitzvah? Right? So now, haderech hanachonahi, what's the proper way? Lichol es kol zeh b'toch hadibur m'vor Hashem v'lo m'lish. Be including all the words you say to Hashem. You speak to Hashem, you should say. We're not finished with him. Ani yodeh shezoi machshav shiflis. I know this is a low way to think. Ani yodeh sheim bonai hoya misnaiga loikach. And if I know my kids treated me this way, it would be very hard for me to take it. Rabbi Shalom, Ana Mimcha Tahiras Libi. Rabbi Shalom, please, I ask from you, purify my heart. And remove from me this impurity that is hiding from me the will to do your will. In other words, the person knows deep down his neshama wants to do what Hashem wants to. And deep down, you really want to do the will of Hashem. And you want to please Hashem. But unfortunately, the externals that we pile up in our lives, from the selfishness of how we see this world is, we look at everything for ourselves. So on our conscious level, or whatever level of consciousness, we want to get reward. And we're doing it only for the reward. And then have to realize that that's a disgusting way to behave, and I shouldn't want to behave that way. But that's the way I feel, and the only way you're going to lose it, Hashem has to help you to get rid of it, because you want to get rid of it. You really do want to get rid of it. You don't want to be this kind of a son. And you have to really say, you know, it's I shouldn't want this, but I do want it this way. So Hashem, you're the only way that can help me that I should stop feeling this way. I mean, there's other things you can do as well, you know. Thoughts of, you know, what Hashem has done for you and all those other things and how much you owe him and how much he's done, you know. But this is hitting the nail right on the head and dealing with the issue in the strongest way. So, you know, on the one hand, you know, we start off by saying, you know, you're putting on, so we got a lot of thoughts now when we're putting on the tefillin. Because before you're putting them on, don't do it while you're putting on, you'll never be able to concentrate on the mitzvah. But you say, you know, I really, we read in the book that we're supposed to say, Hashem, I want to please you. Okay, let's be honest. I'm not that interested in pleasing you. I'm really interested in knowing what you're paying me for this. And I'm embarrassed to say that. And Hashem, please help me that I stop thinking this way. And that's the bottom line. Now, if you don't feel this way, then you don't have to bother. If you really are at the level that you don't expect anything, then you could skip this step. But the tzaddik is kind of saying, better be pretty sure of what you're really feeling and to be honest with those feelings. Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree with what he's saying, but that's not what God is saying, because in the second paragraph of the Shema, God's saying, you do what I say, and I'll give you all these good things.
No, that, agree. Yeah, go ahead, just finish. Yeah, just finish.
But he's setting the stage for us to think like that.
He's not setting the stage for you to think like that. He's just telling you how much he loves you. He is saying like this. This is what he's really saying. Every time the Torah says the rewards you get for mitzvahs, in this world, it really is, God is just saying, if you love me and you are working hard to serve me, and that's what you really want, you really, you know, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, and you love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your efforts, and you really love me. And your greatest desire is to please me. That's what the beginning of the Shema is saying, right? If you really love me and you really want to please me, you know what I'll do for you? I'll create a world that will enable you to continue to do that. That's what he's promising. I will allow you to have your desires be fulfilled, that you'll be able to continue to do that. And this is the way all the Mephoshim explained. The rewards of this world are whatever that Torah says, yes, you get a reward. But why? So it's like the father saying, get me a glass of water and I'll make sure to buy you pants every day and clothing and food, because that way you'll continue to be able to be kind. In other words, Hashem is saying, listen, what's the real deal here? The real deal is that you can be close to me. The real deal is that you're trying to give me pleasure. That's the real deal. So if you're trying to do that, what will be a person who really loves Hashem and really wants to serve Hashem, what will cause him the greatest pain?
Not to be able to.
So God says, you know, if you really want to serve me, I will create the world in such a way that you'll be able to serve me. Because Hashem knows that Shelley really would wish he wouldn't have to work. He really wishes that somehow $1 million came from heaven, and if it came, Shelley would quit his job and go right to Eretz Yisrael and learn in a koil for the rest of his life. Maybe $2 million. Okay? And you learn in a koil the rest of your life. Right? Isn't that the truth? If today you got a blank check, right? Wouldn't you quit Fujitsu? And you knew it was there. I mean, it's guaranteed. You're there. You don't have to worry. You quit. You learn Torah. Do chesed. And that's what you really want to do. Right? So, you know, so Hashem promises us, you know, that I'll give that to you. Okay, it depends on our levels. But the fact that you have a steady job, you don't have to worry. There's people without steady jobs. There's people, you know, Baruch Hashem, so you can come home from work. You don't have to worry about parnasa. And when you're sitting at home, your mind is clear. Now, what do I do for the rest of the day? Well, I could learn. I could do this chesed. I can help my kids with their homework. I can volunteer for this. So Hashem blessed you that you have your parnasa. So the Torah is saying, if your greatest will is to serve me with all your heart and all your desires and everything, and that's your great, you love me. If you love me, then I promise you I will give you a world that will enable you to continue to do this without frustration. That's not a reward. That's just an enabling. And that's how all the rewards of the Torah understood. So that you should live a long life. So you should live a long life, because the longer you live, the more you can serve me. That's what all the mitzvahs of the Torah, the blessings of the Torah are meant to be. That's this week's parsha. If you go to my business, all it's saying, you're doing my mitzvah, you're doing my chukas, you're living, you know, you're being amelim b'Torah, you're toiling in Torah, you know, not just, you know, toiling in Torah means you love Torah. You know, if you really love me and you want to be with me, you know, I remember it's the end of the book of Vayikra. He says after Achrimais Kedoshim, you want to be a holy person. Right, you're a holy person. If you're going to be a holy person, I'm going to make sure that life will treat you in such a way that you can continue to act in a holy way, and are not frustrated by the difficulties of life.
But truthfully, I mean, it's a good explanation. There are a lot of holy people who struggle, like us, who don't have that environment where they can devote as much as they would like to. They struggle.
Okay, so again, there's equations, and then there's exceptions. Again, we can't. You know, it's very interesting, Shelley, if you look at the Shema, the way it's worded, the first paragraph says you should love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources, blah, 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 blah. First paragraph. If you look at the first paragraph, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, all of that is in the singular. Right? The second paragraph says, "V'hayim shema tishmu," if you will listen, and that's in the plural. And in the second paragraph, he discusses the concept of reward and punishment. The rain will fall or the rain won't fall. So why didn't he mention that in the first paragraph? So the answer is, the first paragraph is talking to the individual. The individual is, you know, the goal of life as an individual is to love Hashem with everything you got. Finished. Now, Second topic. That's, you know, we're talking to every person saying, you really would love to be a tzaddik gomor. That's the first paragraph. That's what the first paragraph is saying. Be a tzaddik gomor. That's the whole goal of what Yiddishkeit is, to love Hashem with everything you got. Right. Second paragraph talks to the masses. It says, okay, we're going to talk to the masses now. We're going to give you a general rule of thumb. The general rule of thumb is there is some concept of the continuing your ability to serve me or not continue to serve me. Why was that not said in the first paragraph? Because the answer is, as a general rule to the masses, this is a true rule. When we deal with individuals is a different story, because every individual carries his separate special baggage, and who knows what else he's carrying in this world. You're a big tzaddik. Maybe you're a Gilgal of a Russia. Maybe you're a Gilgal of a Russia. Maybe, you know, you've done a couple certain averis that you got to get punished really bad in this world, so there'll be no punishment in the next world. There's all kinds of calculations. When we look at every individual, we can never calculate. We can't calculate. As a rule, there is such a rule that those who serve God, the Jewish people serve God as a totality, God will enable us to continue to serve Him. That is a general rule, and it's a true rule when we're dealing with the masses. There's always going to be individual exceptions, because God has certain plans. A. B. The real tzaddikim that doesn't stop them from serving Him. It never has, and it never will. So, they don't have any money. They're still serving Hashem. Got to remember how you serve. Some people, only if conditions are ripe, can they serve Hashem. Those are the masses. The masses are, you know, if things are going well, I can do it. If not, it's hard. The big tzaddikim, doesn't matter what, they're serving Hashem all the time. It doesn't slow them down a drop. And you find this. You find this all the time. You find this all the time. The great tzaddikim never had any money. Never had any money. And then they served Hashem all day long. And how they got together, they may do. It worked out. So, but that's clearly, but the idea that there are rewards, and of course there's other concepts that are beyond. And we do know, I mean, it's one of the 13 animamis. We do know there's going to be big rewards in the world to come. But remember, what's the reward in the world to come? It's only being close to Hashem, so big deal. That's what you want, and that's what Hashem wants you to have. So it balances out. And when we look, so we're doing these misses, you know, I'm giving tzedakah. So, you know, there's different people who are giving tzedakah have different feelings when they're giving that tzedakah. You know, some people are giving tzedakah and they're saying, of course, I want to get close to Hashem. I give the tzedakah, finished. And mirz Hashem, you know, He'll bless me that I'll be able to give more tzedakah. That's, and, you know, I will always be able to write checks to give tzedakah. And if not, so that's the will of God too, that also don't write another check for tzedakah. If that's what He wants, you know, I guess He wants me to serve Him in another way. I'll find another way for Him to serve. And there's others who write the checks and saying, it hurts a lot. I hope He replenishes it, you know. Okay, there's different levels. That's the kid who says, you know, what are you going to give me for it? So there's different levels. So we have to try to be on that level that we're not thinking of those rewards. And hoping, you know, when you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem, give me the health to continue to do this mitzvah. You know, that's how we have to look at it. All right, where did we fly off the page? Third paragraph. Kolomar. Okay, so that's what we're asking Hashem to help me. No, what was the third paragraph?
I think it is.
Okay, so he knows it's a low level. Please help me purify myself, right? And not avoiding these things that could be dormant inside of us. Klomar, Minka say, Bakasha zu ala machshava shelo lishma. These requests to counter the thoughts that are not altruistic. Gam hi chelek mehachona shodomechen es asan lavo lishma. This is also part and parcel of the preparation that a person must prepare himself to serve Hashem for the right reason. In other words, you have to, it's not enough to just say, in other words, it's good we broke yesterday where we broke. Because yesterday I told you when we were stopping at the car, say to Hashem, please help me serve you. Now you got more to think about today. You're at the red light. You got more to think. You've got to flesh out.
It's a good thing I have reviews in the car.
The negative thoughts that are really there to some extent for some of us. right? Whom is followed by pratis lakadosh baruch hu lemachshav shel lishma. He davened specifically Hashem for these not lishma thoughts. Umavachman and asked from Hashem, ana mimcha, I ask from you, I beg from you, tetaro si machshav shel, purify my thoughts. And niyadeh shehein einan tovas, I know they're not good, aval kashali yipartim, it's hard for me to separate myself from them. So now it's not enough for us to stop and say, Hashem, you know, make sure that my day is to do your will. You should speak it out. Say, you know, okay, Hashem, I'm going to go to davening today. How much are you going to give me for it? Just speak it out. And I know that's a disgusting thing to say, but I know I really feel that way to some extent. And Hashem, help me that I don't think that way. And help me that I should only think that I should want to do things just because I want to make it. And the more we say it, the more we deal with the incorrectness that lies within ourselves, when we can expose it and see how foolish it is, then we will stop doing that. And that's important. Tzarech lahargilas hanefesh ledaber en kadosh baruch hu kedaber ish al rei. We got to accustom our souls to speak to Hashem like a person is speaking to his friend. V'yaf yosim hashem kedaber ish al rei. And even more than how you speak to a friend. Why? In other words, you got to talk to God more than you would, and say the kinds of things that you would not say to your friends. Yeshnim dvarim shilareyu adam isbayish loimer v'kashla loimer isam. There's certain things that a person is too embarrassed to tell his friends. Avalim arubayinishloim, but with Hashem, sham tzarech shetiyeh la'adam psichos gemura. There a person should be totally open. Totally open. U'b'chal asher ol alibam, whatever comes upon his heart, kol ha'machshavos harhirim shlo, all the thoughts, b'chol yishtatef es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of them, you should have Hashem be part of that. Right? So sometimes, you know, there's certain ways you feel about people that you need, but, you know, you don't tell them. You don't tell them how much you hate their guts. You know? So you gotta talk to Hashem and say, Hashem, you know, I hate so-and-so's guts. I hate him. I wanna kill him. I really do. Okay, I know the Torah says I can't kill, but if it wasn't for your Torah, I would kill him. I wanna smack him. And Hashem, help me that I shouldn't feel this way. You know, now you'd never say this to anybody else. I don't say, I thought you were a good person. Since when do you have such a disgusting thought? The truth is, many people have these kinds of thoughts. And you can't even tell it to your spouse. You can't even tell it certain things. We're human. We have sometimes, not saying all the time, but sometimes we have these really terrible thoughts. And these terrible thoughts, and you're thinking of them. And you're not going to tell it to your wife, you're not going to tell it to your husband. You tell it to Hashem. Make those thoughts real, and then you'll see how disgusting it is, and then you want to vomit it out of your system. You know, as long as you don't say it, you don't realize how disgusting it is, even though it's inside of you. When it's inside of you, it can't be that bad, you feel, because it's part of your being. But when you speak it out, and the idea is sitting right in front, when you speak it out, it's here. It's here, and you're looking at it. You say, man, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. And then you say to Hashem, please help me with this. You know, and there's all different ways. I don't think we have to elaborate on it. But everybody, people can hurt you very badly, and you really get angry. And you want to talk Lashon Hara about them, and you want to, right? The Piazetz Rebbe, remember he said, you're really upset with somebody, go write what you want to say, right? Remember? You're ready to blow. Write it down. Say, you good for nothing. Write a letter to the guy you're angry at. You good for nothing piece of garbage, blah, blah, blah. You're the blah, 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 blah. Write the whole thing down. Right? Right? And then what does he say? Then the next day, read it again. And the next day, read it again. And the next day, read it again. See how stupid it is. Right? So it's the same idea. But, you know, and so, you know, you could write it down too if you want. The Pizzetzer would tell you to go write it. Write it down. You know, Hashem, I daven today. I really think I'm a great guy. I won $50,000 for that. Write it down. And then read it and see how foolish that is. But that's really how we feel. You know, I become a Baal Tshuva. I expect my life to be better now. I expect me to have no problems with my kids. I expect myself to have a good parnas. I expect all these things. And then write, boy, am I disgusted with my expectations. And help me not think that way. Right? So that's a powerful tool, and it will work. It will work if you're going to do it often enough. You're going to say this is so disgusting. I'm going to get this out of my system, and you'll see the opposite. Just doing it because you want to please Hashem. So you have to express both sides of the coin. And you have to say things to Hashem you would never say to anybody else, not even your psychiatrist. You notice you'll tell things to the barber that you won't tell other people. You know? Because why? Because he's nobody. He's nobody in your life. Sometimes you'll pick a perfect stranger. The guy, the guy's painting your house. You know, he's going to come in. You're never going to see him again. He said, telling all your marital problems. Right? Right? Who's he? You know, because you got to get it out. You got to get it out. And you know, it's safe with him. What's he going to? He's going to start telling everybody. He doesn't know anybody in your community. You know, you tell your barber, right? That's the old, or the better one, you know, the bartender at the bar. And that's the classic. Okay, we don't know about this, Baruch Hashem, none of us do this. But this is the typical goyish way to live. You go to the bar, you tell him your whole life's problems, right? And the guy listens to you because he knows he's going to get a tip, right? You're the nicest guy in the world because they just listen, right? And they don't give you much advice, but they listen. At least that's the way it was, you know, when I was little watching on TV, right? Right? I forgot which show. It was a show. No, I think it was Jackie Gleason. No, but I think at one time he played this guy.
Yeah, he was the bartender.
And people told him his problem. I don't remember. Or people, or more contemporary, they had the show Cheers. You know. Whatever, I'm just saying, but it's always what, it's the bar, what's that? He's a big psychologist, he's this and that, what are you telling it to him for? Because it's non-threatening, he's not gonna tell anybody about it. You don't see the guy, he doesn't live on your street, it's not part of your life. And it's like an unspoken rule, the bartender never tells. Right? Okay, and you'll tell the bartender things you won't tell your wife. So how about at least treat Hashem at least as good as a bartender? And let him know how you really feel. It's a very important thing to say the things and to bring out the lowest parts of what you are, to bring them out. And the good thoughts that you have those good moments too, you know. We're not all bad. We have these really good moments. We really do it mamish for the sake of Hashem. And, you know, we shouldn't forget them either. We should daven to Hashem that we shouldn't forget them. We should continue to do them. And similarly, Shehen Yamiku Benavsha, that they should become deeper in our souls. And you should bring them to life more and more and more. And the thoughts that are not desirable, I believe. Hachukas Vamidas, the yearnings and the characteristics. That Hashem should help him forget about those bad ones. Achlo Yavod Levad, but don't only serve. Im ovdim levad nimtzayim ba'olam shel perud. If you find yourself only serving, you're in that world of divisiveness. Yitachon she'adam yavod as a kadosh baruch hu mevim kol zeh yichya benifredes min yisrael shel. But if it's possible, a person can serve Hashem all his life and still be separated from Him. Doing mitzvahs is not enough. He keeps saying this over and over. Think about the mitzvahs you're doing. And this type of service has to be done with a lot of thought. But if we do the opposite, that in the morning we're running to daven, and you already came in 5 minutes after they start, you're coming in at 7:05, then you're wrapping up the tefillin fast, and you're saying your brachas fast. And sometimes you're forced to skip parts of Sukkot Zimra, and you're saying, well, I'll make them up later. And then, of course, later, you're rushing out from Davin, you forget about what you said, you're going to make them up later. It's very hard to develop under that situation. How can you never have time to think about the mitzvahs you're doing? You always got to be there a few minutes before Davin and think and pause and, what am I about to do? Why am I going to do this? And have these kinds of thoughts. If you're coming in late, you can't do that. Next page. Kufmem. Zoi nekuda she'ein bashum safek. This point, there's no doubt about this point. Chayovim lakum bizman. Everybody's got to get up on time. Kol echad lefizmano. Everyone according to his timing. Aval azman hu lagia latfil is neazman. But the time to come to davening is before davening. Whatever time davening's in shul, you gotta be there 5 minutes before. That's it. You gotta be there 5 minutes before. You gotta be there 5 minutes before. You know, it's good, it's good. Now, anybody else who walks in now won't hear what we said. The problem is the wrong, I should be giving this 5 minutes after seven, but everybody revolted. We didn't start on time. So, what can you do? But that, you gotta be, it's like the Torah pushed you there early. How could you not come to shul early? You know, and you have so many people on Shabbos, it's mamash fakert. You know, it's again people who you know, there's certain people on Shabbos, it's like classic. It's like to the dot. You watch. There's certain people, this is when I come to shul. I come to shul at 9:30. You know, I come to shul, you know, that means to say I don't daven shachris. You know, that's it. I come at 9:30. Or they come at 9:17 every week. 9:17. It's like, you know, it's a bad yetzer, but the rabbi's job is to look around during davening to see how davening's going. And it's like, it's always, everybody, it's very rare a guy comes at 8:45 and the next week 9:30 and the next week 10:30 and the next week 7:45. It doesn't, usually people are pretty consistent in their patterns. And this guy's classic half hour late. It means you don't say Pesukah Dezimra. It's not on the radar. It's just not there. Right? So he says it can't be that way. Now, of course, he's saying, Lo tzorach lios kemo chasidim rishon. You don't have to be like the early chasidim, like the Gemara in Brachos that says, that they prepared an hour before davening. We're not insisting on that. Zu eina madrega shel kol adam. This is not a level that everybody's on. Aval mikolecha nidreshes hachona minimalis. But from everybody's required some kind of minimal preparation. Shelos manli, he's binding al kach, he should have time to think about it. Shunamudli spells the abor that he's standing before Hashem to speak to him. Shelos manli, he's binding kates and maniach tefillin, a little time to think about how he's putting on tefillin. You should have a little thought for that. At least a minute, 30 seconds even is good. Kosman shadam rots, v'chaser lo menuchas hanefesh. As long as the person's running and he doesn't have that tranquility of soul, kashamod liknos esakinyonim ruchanim, it's very hard for him to acquire those spiritual acquisitions. Zel echad ma'amafri ma'gedoylim, this is one of the big disturbances. Kol dover shenidabra lov kan koruch b'izbainus u'bihishtabchus. Everything that we've been talking about in this book, it's all bound up with reflection and pouring out of the soul. V'haritz and the running. That is what disturbs the acquisition of that. If a person merits to be able to speak words of faith, words of love, words of lishma, of altruistic feelings, he will merit to become closer to his creator, and he'll be able to be attached and tied and connected to his creator. Okay, with that in mind, we'll stop a minute before davening, so you could think about it, and don't want to start another parak. So tomorrow we'll start Perak Yudalev, another more powerful parak, where he talks about how we clarify what our real purpose in life is.